we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm here with Jessica Lieblick, a New Hope mom who dedicated over a year to being a group admin of Reopen Bucks. In that capacity, she spearheaded many of the group's efforts, including the effort to provide outlets for normalcy to small children and their families when they needed it most. Welcome, Jessica. Thanks for chatting with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
So right out of the gate, let's go ahead and get an elephant out of the room. You were an admin of the group for 411 days. And you're actually, interestingly, the first person on the podcast who is not a current member of Reopen Bucks.
Uh-huh.
But obviously saying 411 days kind of describes why. You were a key person involved in all of the major decisions that happened with Reopen Bucks in that first year. What does that number mean when I say 411 days and you think back to all that time you spent running the group?
Well, it's definitely longer than 2 weeks to flatten the curve, that's for sure. It was, I think, as much as I did for the group did even more for me. It gave me kind of a reason to wake up every morning because it was a depressing time. I was angry a lot, and being part of the group kind of made me feel like I was helping in some way, like I wasn't completely helpless, even if it, you know, was just approving posts or whatever it was all day. It kind of made me feel like I had a purpose to get through it. So it really, like, gave me life and made me feel like I wasn't completely out of control from all these crazy disasters that were happening all around us every day.
Yeah. So before you found the group, I mean, you found the group when we started the group. So you were one of the, you know, very first people to jump in and get involved. But prior to the group's existence, a big part of what we're going to talk about is obviously everything that you did with kids, and you, just like us, young family, young kids, you have young boys. What was that experience like the first couple of months of the pandemic before there was a community like Reopen Bucks that you were part of?
I felt pretty scared for them on a daily basis. It was upsetting to see them kind of alone because we were used to being with friends all the time. And it was just a lot of the unknowns, and it was like parenting was already a difficult job, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think any of us signed up for this as parents. And it was kind of the fear of the unknown, and, you know, drew me closer to family. And then I was like, wow, if my kids are going through something, you know, where obviously they realize things have changed, we're not going out anymore. I said, you know, all these other kids, I just knew there was going to be a tremendous amount of damage psychologically, mentally, emotionally to these kids that were just being told to stay at home because kids aren't going to develop that way. Big part of being a kid is just getting out in the world and seeing things and experiencing. And I was like, all right, like the longer we stay home, kind of the longer they're not growing and they're not learning and they're not absorbing the world. And our world just kept shrinking and shrinking. And I just was getting more and more desperate to find people that were like me, that were basically like, I don't understand what's going on right now. There's so many conflicting reports coming in. But I do know that my number one priority is always going to be my children. And so whatever it is, I need to get life together for these kids because we can't keep doing what we were doing, which was playing in the backyard every day by ourselves. So then we started kind of connecting with other families, and that was when kind of Reopen came into my life, and just so grateful for finding other families that were feeling the way I was feeling.
So knowing that, I mean, you did a lot of things in your time, like I said before, 411 days, core part of like all the major decisions about what Reopen Bucks would become and what it would do and a driving factor. But I feel like such a defining feature is everything that you did for specifically like little kids. You know, while the group had done a lot of things, that was always kind of like your boat in it. Now, with everything you just described about your experience in the beginning and how you came to the mindset that would lead into all those things you wound up doing and still do today, how do you feel with the fact that suddenly it's like widely accepted and recognized that this did damage to kids, like that all that stuff that we've been saying all along is kind of now just becoming, everyone.
It's everything we've been saying all along. It's, you know, protect the vulnerable and let the rest of us live our lives. And, you know, it's like they're saying that now, like it's a brand new idea that nobody has ever said in 2 years. And it's infuriating because it's like, you know, obviously they knew all along and they didn't care. It was an agenda, political otherwise. And now, you know, it's kind of like they knew what they would do to the children mostly, and they didn't care what the cost was. They didn't care about the children. The children were always kind of a scapegoat, or, you know, just the most, I think the most attacked population when they were the least vulnerable to the virus. So, you know, that was infuriating. And I do, you know, I try not to, but I do blame the parents that kind of accepted everything they were told and treated their children as if they were a risk and at risk. And it was, you know, it was a kind of like a calling for me to speak out on social media and, you know, tell parents like your children are going to be fine. You know, you need to keep treating them as if things are normal, even when things are not, you know. And I would, as best as I could, explain to my kids, you know, this is not the way a virus should be treated. You know, we don't take shots, or, you know, just in terms of explaining to them that we have to keep our bodies healthy so that they would realize that, you know, this is not normal what's happening. This is not the way to treat a virus. This is, you know, overkill with the masks, and so that they wouldn't be scared, because I feel like so many parents put fear into their children and the children are suffering for it.
Yeah, it's like now, even as this realization comes into effect in the mainstream, it's hard to go back. Like those kids, in many cases,
it's done.
They're stuck.
It's done. Yeah. Yeah. They will never get that part of their lives back. They will never get a lot of the trauma that was, you know, inflicted upon them back. And it's really sad, because a lot of these kids, they say like 0 to 7 is, you know, the time of their lives where they're most susceptible to influences, and their brains are obviously developing at the fastest pace. And all these children, this is what they knew for 2 years. I mean, there were babies born that, you know, never left their house from the whole time they were born until they were 2 years old. And to think about that is mind-blowing and really, really sad.
Yeah. So there we are, I mean, against that backdrop of what was happening in May 2020, the groups formed. The first thing where I think you really like owned something and, you know, made it your thing was we did the Playground Brigade.
Remember that? Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, it's like thinking back on baby pictures in a way, but
yeah, that was the beginning.
Hard not to be proud of it.
I think for me, the playground was kind of like what really shook me to the core, because it was like up until that point, it was like, okay, people are sick, people are, you know, dying. And, you know, I was in my past life a nurse, so I was hearing from a lot of my nurse friends what was going on in the hospitals. And it was kind of hard to kind of stay in my mind like, all right, it's nothing, you know, let's just go on with our lives, when I was hearing all these horror stories every day. But then I started seeing things like the playground, and I was like, all right, even if people are sick and are dying, like, you can't tell me that, like, kids playing outside in the sunshine is,
like, inherently bad.
Right.
That can't be.
That didn't make sense. You know, medically, biologically, that did not line up. You know, from all my nursing knowledge and from all my medical expertise, like, this was just not anything I could rectify or justify in my mind. So we started the Playground Brigade, and not really knowing what we were getting ourselves into, they had, you know, I'm sure most people remember, they had put like crime tape up on all these playgrounds, and just, you know, put yellow caution tape all over the playground, all over the swing sets, like they were crime scenes. And we would drive past them, and my kids would ask, like my oldest would, he was, you know, 3 and a half at the time, he would say, what is that? What did they do to my playground, Mom? And the rage that would sort of build up in me, like, why? It didn't even make sense to me. So, and it was March, you know, it was April, it was starting to get warm out. The kids couldn't go anywhere inside. There was literally nowhere to go. And I said, they're not going to take their playgrounds from them also. And as a group, I think there were, you know, a few of us that just decided we were going to go around with scissors cutting down, you know, the zip ties. And, you know, I remember Kiri had written up a note at one of the first playgrounds that we had gone to, and, you know, it was, there was always the kind of knowledge that police might come by, and that kind of added an element of rebelliousness to it. And I really didn't care. I said, we're going to cut this tape down, and if it comes back tomorrow, we're going to go back tomorrow and we're going to untape it again. We're going to cut it down again, because I'm not doing this to my kids. I'm not going to tell them they can't have their playgrounds either. So it was a lot of fun. We, you know, had some run-ins with the police, and that was, you know, some mixed feelings there, because we've always been pro-police strongly, and I've always taught my kids that we support police strongly. But the same as with, you know, laws, it was kind of that fine line of teaching my children, like, we obey laws and we respect authority, but not when they're doing something that doesn't make sense. And so that was kind of the angle I had to teach them. You know, tough lessons for little kids to learn. That was kind of the angle I had to teach them with the confrontations with the police as well. That, you know, we respect people up until, you know, it doesn't really make sense anymore.
So in all of that, something that's incredibly frustrating to me, in particular about the playgrounds thing, you described all the caution tape. They use like orange snow fencing.
Yes.
They would wrap the swings around the swing bar and stuff like this. Nobody, I mean nobody, not in public health, not any of like the township supervisors who made the call, nobody has come back and said like, okay, that was a little unscientific.
Completely.
Like, we were over the mark.
There were so many, you know, scientific studies, I guess, that I think they were trying to suppress, but they kept coming out nonetheless about the effects of vitamin D and how vitamin D deficiency was leading to, you know, a lot of a higher mortality rate with the virus. And I was thinking, like, you're telling people, like, they can't even go outside and, you know, get sunlight. And it just, you know, it was so unfair. And so I'm still proud of it that we, you know, took our scissors and, you know, I remember we got, and people came, people showed up, people that didn't even have children came and helped us. And I remember that was like that sense of community, like, this is about the children and we are not going to let this happen to them. I remember that first time we cut things down in that playground in Percocet, and I ended up staying a little bit later than everybody else, because I was trying to time it with my children's nap on the way home. And everybody had left for about half an hour, and then I saw a green van pull up that was obviously like from the municipality, and somebody must have said something because the worker came out and he started taping things around all over again, like undoing basically everything we had done. And I remember calling you, and you came back, and we were just kind of watching this guy in shock that this was, you know, where our tax dollars were going and that it was happening so quickly. And I kept thinking, like, everything's around here is a bureaucracy. You know, it takes weeks to get anything done. Meanwhile, we just cut the caution tape down on a children's playground, and 5 minutes later, it's right back up. So this was, like, stunning to me.
It really paints the picture of just, like, how far people lost their minds. Like,
lost
their
minds.
I feel like more than anything else, the playgrounds, because it's impacting the people, the small children with young families, typically healthy adults that have children, like, there's no risk here. There's no risk. What are we doing?
The memory that will always stand out to me was that the playground was in a residential neighborhood, and I'm watching these children play together, our children, and I'm watching them laugh and jump in the sunshine. Like, everything was normal when we, as adults, knew that it was not going to be 2 weeks and that we were heading into some weird, scary times. And I'm watching these kids, and they don't know what's going on. And then my eyes kind of like drifted across the street because, as I said, the playground was in a neighborhood. And on the stoops, the stairs of this house across the street from the playground were these kids that were just staring at us. And I couldn't tell what it was, but I'm sure it was, you know, sadness and jealousy. Their parents told them they couldn't go across the street and play with other kids. And for the first time in their lives, probably, they were, you know, stopped from being normal kids. Meanwhile, our kids were just, you know, happy, normal kids. And that was kind of a theme that went on throughout COVID, where we would go to the store and I could tell my kids would look at these kids with masks on with complete sadness for them, because it's not normal. My kids will never think it's normal. So, and I'm proud of that and sad for all these other kids that didn't get that same experience.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. Same idea here. It was, in a lot of ways, it was just kind of like protecting and shielding our kids from it, is what it felt like.
And I felt helpless. And at some point I realized, like, I can only kind of protect my own and help protect parents who think the same way I do, because there was such a clear divide between people and parents. And, you know, you hope parents would wake up, but I feel like at some point everybody had just gone too far along with their line of thinking that it was almost like nobody could take a step back, and we were all on different sides, and nobody was going to budge. So, I mean, thank God for the parents that protected their kids and, you know, kind of either saw through it or didn't see through it, but said, I'm going to put my children ahead of it anyway, which I think was a little bit of a smaller population. But even so, I mean, I think those are the kids that are going to grow up with their heads on straight. And I'm worried about the kids who suffered the damage and, you know, were kind of treated as pawns throughout this whole thing.
Well, thinking about the folks on our side, so to speak, or, you know, Reopen Bucks people, you would go on there to have kind of like this huge second performance with this group you started, mm-hmm. which is still in existence today. I want to make sure I get the name right. It's Little Freedom Fighters of Bucks County.
Yeah, and we're still around today. I'm very proud of it. And initially, I had started it, I think, around November 2020, and we were outside all the time. You know, after a while, they let that playground stuff go, and they just, I guess, you know, I do know we took a lot of credit, and we deserved a lot of credit for Bucks returning to normal with their playgrounds. And, you know, they finally gave up, I think, and took the, you know, just took the tape down everywhere. But after that, it started getting cold out. And I looked around and I said, it is going to get cold and there's no play spaces. There's no libraries. There's no nothing. Our whole usual winter routine was gone. And so I had spoken to you and to Kiri, and I said, you know, can I, you know, kind of spin off and do something for the little kids? And, you know, you two were absolutely supportive. And my idea initially had been to just, you know, rotate people's homes for play dates, which wasn't really happening as well as I wanted it to. And then a friend of mine had worked with a pastor in Doylestown on a pro-life project several years before. And she said, I'm going to reach out to him and see if, you know, maybe he would let us use his church. He was a former police officer on our page politically. And he said, absolutely, you know, bring whatever you want, make yourselves at home. And that started our official group. It was amazing to see the turnout week after week of parents who just looked forward to it all week just to get out of the house in the winter. People were literally, I mean, we were literally stuck at home all week with, you know, just very little to keep us occupied because, you know, kids need to get out and see the world, like I was saying. And so this was, you know, a way to for the kids to interact. This was a taste of normalcy in a world that had kind of lost its mind. And I really was so proud of it because, you know, the kids need each other. And I was like, this is what's going to keep things afloat, even if we can only do it once a week or twice a week, you know. And the moms, the parents needed each other too. And we went through life together. We built a community. And it was like everybody would bring toys and all the kids would share and they would just play and the moms would sit at a table and chat. And we found each other. You know, moms from all different kinds of ways of thinking were unified in kind of agreeing that we were going to keep things as normal as possible for our children. You know, and a big part of the group was the loss of the libraries, which I think for my own family, for my own two boys, and for a lot of other families, the libraries and the resources that the libraries provided. I mean, Bucks County has had, you know, pre-COVID and still does now that things are back to normal, a great library system. And we relied on it a lot, you know, especially in the colder weather. And then that was gone. And even when they reopened, they were insane about masks. And they obviously chose their side politically. And so it was like the story time that a lot of families relied on was suddenly gone. So I said, okay, we're just going to kind of rebuild things as much as possible. And if they keep taking things away from us, then we're going to have to make our own. So we would bring books, and I would have different moms like volunteer to read, and somebody would bring a snack. And I think some weeks we, you know, incorporated some movement and some music and just, you know, to give the kids a taste of what was gone and, you know, let them remember, like, it's not gone. We're doing this for you. We'll keep it going. And so that was, you know, I think I started it kind of on a selfish level almost because I said to myself, I need to get out of the house. I need my boys to have friends. And then when I realized how much it was doing for other people, it was just an added bonus that, you know, what I needed for my kids was helping out so many other parents.
Yeah.
So it was huge.
Everyone was kind of like in the same boat, but we needed leaders, and you really kind of became a leader with that thing. And I think it's important to frame it all up and paint the picture that this is November 2020 when you started, because you described that we were fine with like playgrounds and what we could get away with outdoors until that time. And then it gets cold. And in November of 2020, there was nothing.
Nothing. You couldn't,
I mean, things were not there for the kids. And what we're talking about with kids is like toddlers, like littles. It's, you know, not kids who go to school or are in daycare or whatever. These kids need socialization to grow, and they have absolutely nothing if not for what you were doing.
I remember taking my kids to the grocery store just to get out of the house. And I remember thinking, like, just somebody look at my kids and like say hi to them, you know, because everything was so, everybody was so masked up. And, you know, we weren't obviously, but everybody was so, the masks made us lose personal connections. And so I would remember like, you know, pre-COVID, I would take the kids to the grocery store and people would like look at them and smile. How old are they? Like, you know, little old ladies would come up and talk about how beautiful they were. And then COVID started. And I really think it chipped away at people's humanity, and suddenly everybody was in their own like masked up world, and nobody would look at the kids anymore. But I would take them just to get out of the house because there was nothing else to do. We would go to the grocery store like five times a week. I mean, the added bonus was making people mad about my naked face, but I mean, it just like we lost our humanity. But yeah, there was literally nothing for the kids to do, and you know, so I was like, enough of that. We're gonna make things normal again. So I'm so proud of it. I'm proud to say we're still going strong. I mean, the masks are not an issue anymore, thank God. But It's become such a community, and we're still finding new moms, surprisingly, even within the last month, you know, and I just say to them, I'm so sorry we didn't find you sooner, or you didn't find us sooner, because we really, you know, probably needed each other, but I'm glad they found us now, because we're all kind of still dealing with the same battle scars that I think a lot of the rest of the world doesn't acknowledge or even, you know, understand. So that, you know, I'm just proud of that.
So in terms of where you're at today, you know, you talked about the grocery store situation as an example, taking the boys. What's that like today? Does it feel normal? Because in my experience, we're in Upper Bucks, masks are gone. Any store you go into, there's maybe like a couple of people wearing masks. But by and large, the whole life just feels normal wherever you go, whatever you do. So I'm curious if, going along with that story that you're explaining about how people have kind of lost their humanity and don't interact that same way, what does it feel like to you today? Better?
Better. Absolutely better. Not 100%. I feel like a lot of people are still scarred. And I find that the mask situation is kind of varies week to week with no predictable pattern that I can understand. I guess it, you know, probably correlates a lot with whatever's going on the news, you know, whatever variant, you know, CNN is talking about. But I do think it's better. I do think the masks dropping made people connect again. And I really think, you know, even during COVID, when I would see, like, I remember once we went to the grocery store and I saw two people hugging, and I was like, okay, they cannot change human nature. They can make us wear the masks, and they can make our kids wear the masks, and they can put, you know, the fear of everything into us. But ultimately, people are going to connect. You can't, you can do it for a short time, but ultimately, like, we're human beings who need each other. And so it's going to fail eventually. I was just waiting for it to fail because it wasn't sustainable what they were doing. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful, you know, for everything we did and you and Kiri did and the group did to get us through that period of time with as few scars as possible. And for my children, for me to look at my children now and other children in the group and think, like, you know, we did the best we could. Like, that's a really rewarding feeling.
Yeah. In particular, you mentioned something in there that I'm extremely grateful for, which is the way you structured this, these get togethers. One aspect of it we absolutely loved was that there was like a story time and a song and dance element to it. That was really replacing, at that time, the libraries weren't even doing it. Forget about mask or no mask. They just like canceled all that stuff. They didn't care about
it. They took all the toys out of the,
That's right. They just removed them from
the libraries. They took like the tables and chairs out of the children's playroom as if like that was going to reduce the risk of, it was so strange. And so, I really didn't understand how at any point all these people were still believing that this could be about public health. I guess fear will kind of change and warp your thinking, but they were taking like children's tables and chairs and the dollhouse. I was like, how is that a public health measure? It made no sense. It really was just amazing how they targeted the children and went after them.
Yeah, that was for us. For Kiri and me and our family, the reason we started this whole thing was the loss of the library and those activities which you put back in place for our kids and the other stuff that happened. I mean, I remember consistently from November to like that spring and that summer, once it was warmer and things were outside again, it was like almost like going back to normal every time we'd go. It was amazing. And it really impacted the kids too, to have access to that, experience that. And I think we, from our perspective, I feel like we made it through unscathed when it comes to them, you know,
as much as possible. But I just want to say, I just, you know, think you and Kiri deserve so much praise, not only for the group, but for what you both also did for the children. I mean, you both organized Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, and, you know, I think Thanksgiving was more for the adults, but I remember Christmas and Easter, you know, we weren't going to let these kids not have holidays because, I mean, a lot of us were in the same boat where our families were being nuts also. And so our children weren't seeing their cousins. And I remember, you know, our family for holiday. And I remember like thinking like, all right, we're family now. Like, you know, we don't have Easter with our family. We'll have Easter with our reopened family. And so I was so grateful that you both organized so many activities for the kids also.
Yeah. Speaking of organizing, let's call out another thing you did with the group, which I absolutely loved, was to make it more accessible to folks. You scheduled like different days of weeks and kind of had, it was on a cadence was my recollection, but you would make sure that like, if you had always done it the same times, then, you know, you only get people who are available those times.
Right.
You wanted to make sure you could bring in anybody who felt that they needed that.
Yeah.
And so you actually worked that into the way you scheduled and organized it.
I believe we switched off at that time. We were switching off between one day a week that was afternoon, and then the next week, a different day of the week that was mornings, just because, you know, people had little ones and we had to accommodate. We had to think about nap times or, you know, other schedules. Not that, you know, a lot of people didn't have a lot going on, but we still had to work around, you know, what people had going on at home. So, you know, and it was really a community that came together, and I'm really so proud of what we did and how we stuck together. And, you know, it was like, it takes a village. People were looking out for each other's children. I knew that I could walk away for a few minutes and, you know, my children were in good hands. And I know a lot of the other moms felt that way. And so many people had lost friends and family over this. And it was kind of like we had to rebuild. So that was what we did.
Yeah. And going along with that too, you mentioned already the whole community aspect of it. Such a common thing we hear is just the community feel, the way that that changes the whole experience for people, and kind of, I don't want to say like makes it bearable, but it makes them feel empowered to live according to what they think is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And know that they have people behind them and everything. It really changes everything. So where does that go from here for you guys in the group? I mean, this little Freedom Fighters group that you've got is, you said, still meeting, still doing your thing.
Yeah, I've been trying to, you know, have outdoor meetups now that thankfully it's getting warm. And I, you know, I'm kind of torn what to do, because there's that whole aspect of the masks are gone, thankfully. It seems like COVID, at least for now, is on the back burner to a lot of other issues that are going on. And it's like, do we keep it going? Do we, you know, kind of maintain the friendships without the formal group structure? It's, you know, it's kind of the end of an era with COVID, but it's like you want to maintain that community. But I'm not sure that it needs to be done through a formal Facebook group. I don't know if it's served its purpose and it's time to kind of move on from it, or if, you know, we just say we got a great thing going and we'll move on. I keep saying to myself, I don't have to make any decisions right now. But what I am grateful for is the moms and the parents who showed up. And I've said so many times, you know, you kept things normal for your kids, and that was above and beyond. It, just to see past the brainwashing and to realize that things were not the way they seemed, I think was something that so many people were not able to do. So that alone was huge. And the fact that people put their kids first, and, you know, I talked to so many parents that have decided to homeschool, you know, and I'll talk to moms who say, I never wanted to homeschool. It's not something I ever wanted to do. I wanted, you know, I thought I was going to send my kids to public school and move on with my life and have, all, you know, 6 hours a day free. But it's like people realize what our kids are up against these days, and how they're trying to use them in so many ways that, you know, are not anything that we are okay with going along with. So I think in that sense, like, COVID was a silver lining in the way that it kind of woke a lot of parents up. I would say, you know, this is just on a personal note, with vaccines. I mean, I, you know, I'm a strong proponent against, I think it's so overkill what the CDC schedule has done. And I think the COVID vaccine itself woke a lot of parents up to just the general world of vaccines, which is a huge blessing. I think a lot of, you know, there was data to show that, you know, infant mortality rates went down. And so, you know, there were silver linings there that I think came as a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah. All part of the same story of, like, now that this community is in place, what happens now? Because it's a lot of, it's all the people who think, okay, how do I protect myself and my family from some of the hysteria and madness that happens when other people lose their minds? And those people are going to be inclined to do that with other things, not just COVID. Even if COVID stays in the rearview mirror, and I think everybody on all sides hopes that it's over, but we'll see once fall comes and the cases go up. But again, the community aspect of it, for sure, is, it's got to continue in some ways.
I think it does, because it made us stronger parents. I think a lot of people came to the group completely isolated from friends, from family. They were the only ones. And after a while, if you're the only one around you who thinks a certain way, you start thinking that you're going crazy. And they would come to me and they would say, thank God, you know, I found this group, because I'm not crazy and my kids are not alone and I'm not alone. And so just having each other every week to, you know, kind of reinforce these ideas that we're not losing our minds. In fact, we're the only ones that aren't losing our minds. That was huge to people, and that kept them strong, and that kept them from, you know, maybe after the church, they would go to the grocery store and for the first time, they wouldn't put a mask on their kids because they had just been surrounded by other moms who were like, absolutely not, under no circumstances. And so it would embolden people. I think community does that. And so, you know, just to see the ripple effect of what one decision can do for other people was huge. So I'm grateful for that.
So something in all of that that I kind of want to get your take on, because I feel like you probably have a unique perspective that can help a lot of people out with this, is in thinking about moving away from like the Facebook group structure that you described for your group. I think most COVID groups are all having that kind of discussion. The plan right now for Reopen Bucks at Large is to kind of put the group into hiatus later this spring. And then just kind of put it into hiatus, park it, see what happens in the fall if it needs to come back. But there's obviously a lot of sentiment about what do people do? Like, what happens to the community? And so going back to, you know, the very first thing we led with and a little bit of the elephant in the room is when you departed the group after all of that time being an admin and being like so core and central to everything that had happened. And then it's been what, probably like 6, 7, 8 months since then. What has that looked like for you? Like to not be directly involved day to day, but obviously you still live your life the same way. You make the same decisions. You've been running your group. But just what has that looked and felt like?
It was hard to sort of transition away from the group, from, you know, being an admin and having it be so much a part of my daily life. And then all of a sudden not having, you know, that responsibility, but also that privilege every day. That was, felt like something was missing for a long time. And it was sad, but obviously my ideals didn't change. The way I was going to raise my children didn't change. And I still felt a strong responsibility to the littles group. So, you know, I said to myself, okay, I'm going to find the silver linings in this, which is that I'll be staring at my phone less, you know, fewer hours a day and have more time with the kids. Oh, yeah. And the littles group, you know, kept going. And so, you know, it was a different experience. I think in a way it was good for my sanity to kind of take a break, because I was constantly, you know, looking at posts all day. And so you're seeing the news firsthand, but it's constantly like you're never away from that world. And so you never take a breather and you never forget how crazy things have become, versus when I took a step back from being an admin, it was like, okay, like, you know, the only really reminder that I had that things weren't normal was when we would go to the grocery store and see masks, because we weren't with other people that were wearing masks, and my kids weren't seeing them anywhere else really, except for when we had to go food shopping. So that, you know, to me was, I think it did a good thing for my sanity too, that I wasn't constantly in that world. And it was kind of like we could pretend things were normal for a lot of the time. But yeah, I'm so grateful for the time that I did spend with Reopen for those 411 days. That's kind of crazy to think about. Because like I said, it was my lifeline for a while.
Well, and like you mentioned, it's hard to put that into perspective for people, how much energy you gave to things. You kind of alluded to it a little bit in there, just all day long reviewing things and discussing things and setting the strategy and the tone and all of it. It's a lot that went into all of it.
It was a huge priority to me. I mean, I will admit, I woke up thinking about the group. I went to bed thinking about the group. It was very, very important to me. And I was very proud to be involved. I remember meeting Kiri for the first time at one of the first rallies that you did. And my friend Lauren, actually the friend who found the church for us for the littles group, said to me, oh, there's this brand new group, you know, and they're having a rally. And I said, well, then I've got to be there. And I, you know, told my husband, please watch the kids. This, you know, this is exactly like the kind of group I'm looking for. And I joined the group and I, you know, brought my American flag and, you know, we met in Doylestown and I was so proud. I was like, this is exactly what we need right now. And then that was how I met Kiri, because I had posted all these pictures up in Reopen, which was brand new. I think it was like 4 or 5 days old. And then she reached out and said, you know, can we use those pictures? I think like the Bucks County Courier, one of the news, wanted to use them. And we ended up talking. We hit it off so well. And I said, okay, these are my people. Like, this is what I've been waiting for. Because I think it was May at that point. So this had been like 2 months where I was kind of like, what is going on? Very confusing time. So yeah, the group meant a lot to me. And I'm so grateful that things happened the way that they did, because I needed it as much as, you know, I mean, I was replaceable. I was an admin, but the group needed me, but I needed the group more. So it was great. I really am grateful for that time and for what the group did for me personally.
I want to say a huge thank you for coming on and telling your part of the story. Like I had alluded to at the beginning, I feel like when we go to tell the story of Reopen Bucks and everything that happened, and you make a list in your head of like who did what, there really aren't too many people. I mean, there might not be anyone who did more for the group than you did.
Well, obviously you and Kiri, but thank you. Thank you. It means a lot to me. It, you know, the way that you guys ran it and run it, it's so professional, and I was always so impressed by your professionalism and your expertise and the way that, you know, you guys handle things politically. You just knew exactly what you were doing, and, you know, it always takes me a while to kind of come to a decision, and I felt like you guys always made the right decision a lot of, you know, easily, and so I was always impressed by that.
Well, from here, let's say there's a lot of folks out there listening who you don't want to get involved in what you're doing, join the community, so to speak. Is it all right if we throw a link to your littles group?
Yeah, like, absolutely. I would love it. Like I said, we're just taking a little break from the meetups in the church for now, but come join us on the playground. Come hang out with a bunch of normal moms and a great, great group of kids who I've gotten really super attached to. Just cannot say enough nice things about these little kids that are obviously being raised the right way. And I owe a lot of, you know, or not I, but, you know, a lot of credit is owed to their parents, obviously, for raising them the right way, because these are some good kids that I'm, you know, proud my boys have been around for the last couple of years.
Yeah. Thanks for everything you've done with the group.
And thank you.
Thanks for coming on. This has been fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
All right. See you, everybody.